James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And this afternoon, the Lord helping us, we'll be looking at verses 6 to 8 of James chapter 3. Now, as you know, these sermons mostly can stand on their own. They are self, explanatory. You can understand them. But if you want perhaps to connect them to the former verses, then you need to go back perhaps on the website and see what was recorded last Lord's Day to help you with continuity. I will not be able to go back to what I've looked at, but hopefully it's self-explanatory and it can stand on its own. But if you need help, just go back and look at that. So in verses 6 to 8 of James chapter 3, we'll be looking at the vicious nature of the tongue. The vicious nature of the tongue. And remember, James has been teaching us of the powerful effect of the tongue upon people. He's telling us and showing us how careful we must be with our tongues. And here he tells us that the tongue, especially as it is by nature, has a powerful influence, a powerful effect upon human lives. In the first place, he showed us that the tongue can have a very powerful evil influence upon the lives of people. He also showed us that this same tongue can, if well controlled, can have and can be moved to perform the most noble deeds of love and kindness. The same tongue. We can curse with it and bless with it. The same tongue. And then he went on to show us something. That the tongue can also have a powerfully lasting effect in the lives of people. And we saw that last Lord's Day, of that example. After 85 years, the message that a man heard at the age of 100, he heard it 85 years earlier, at the age of 15, when he was 100, sitting on his own, in his garden as it were, in an open field, in a different continent, the words of the message came to him powerfully. So powerfully that there and then on the spot he was moved to repentance and he was saved. From words he heard 85 years earlier. Saved at the age of 100. As we come to verses 6 to 8, James is developing this theme. And the theme he's developing here is that of the vicious nature of the tongue. And this is, of course, the tongue as it is by nature, the tongue in sin. Not as it can be under grace. The tongue by nature. The tongue in our sinful nature. This is what he's developing here. I want us to consider two things. The tongue as a spreading blaze. And then secondly, the tongue as a savage beast. This is what James brings up. When you read this chapter, just the reading of the chapter terrifies you. When you hear what James says by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Just reading that is terrifying. And the tongue is a fire, he says, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. This is the word of God. And this is a description of our tongues by nature. And sometimes when we use our tongues, we do not know the effect. We don't understand truly how it affects other people. We don't. If we did, as Christians, we'll never do that. But by nature, that is what happens, and that's how we use our tongue. So first of all, the tongue as a spreading blaze. Now in verse 5, James had said at the end of verse 5, see how great a forest a little fire it kindles. And a little fire kindles. The kind of forest fire that a flame, a little flame, can bring about. That's what he has mentioned at the end of verse 5. Now, the mention of that little fire consuming that whole forest, leading to a wild forest fire, that mention leads James to discuss the malicious and indeed the destructive nature of the tongue when it is out of control, when it is not under grace. And James says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire. Very simple statement. He says the tongue is a fire. He has just told us of how a little flame will consume a whole forest. And then having said that, he said, by the way, the tongue is a fire. And here James is calling our attention to the destructiveness of the tongue. And the power of the tongue to produce ruin and wretchedness in the lives of people. Because that's what fire does when it consumes. It destroys. It brings about ruin. It leads to wretchedness. And here he says the tongue is a fire. And remember, if James had chosen, he could have said the tongue is like a fire. No, he says the tongue is a fire. That's what he says. It is a fire. And here, James is using fire as that good picture, if you like, of the devastating effect. The devastating effect of an untamed tongue. A tongue that is out of control. A tongue in its sinful nature. Because that tongue, like fire, James is telling us, like fire, it scorches. It burns. It destroys. It blasts away. That's what fire does. And he says that's what the tongue does. It is a fire. It scorches. It blasts. It consumes. Just as a little flame will consume a forest. He said that's what the tongue does. Because the tongue is a fire. In Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And there in verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 16. We read in verse 27. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. He digs up evil, and that evil is on his lips, and it comes out as a burning fire. It scorches, it consumes, it devastates. That's what it does. And then in Proverbs chapter 26, and there in verse 21 of Proverbs 26, we read, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. With what? With his tongue. With his tongue. That's what He does. Having said that, the tongue is a fire, he now goes on to say, it is a world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. And when he says it's a world of iniquity, what James is saying to us here is this, that among all the members of the body, among all the members of the human body, the tongue represents or personifies all the evil that is associated with this sinful world. Think of it. Whatever evil you can think of in this sinful world. He says it is a world of iniquity. It is a picture. It is a personification of the evil that is contained in this sinful world in which we live. He says the tongue represents that. By nature, in its fallen state, that is what the tongue represents. And as I will see later, it is not as if the tongue is the only one, it is the whole body. But the tongue kind of more exemplifies this than any other part of the human body. It is a world of iniquity. So that the tongue is capable of producing all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil in this world. But James gives us only three examples. And the first one that he mentions is, he says, when the tongue, for example, is wrongly used, it defiles the whole body. When it is sinfully used, it defiles the whole body. Look at it again there in verse 6. He has said the tongue is fire, it's a world of iniquity. And then he says the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. When we use the tongue sinfully, it defiles the whole body. Remember how our Lord said, it's not actually what goes in that defiles. It's what comes out. It's not what we eat. It's not what we take in. It is what we say that actually defiles. And it defiles the whole body, the whole being. It soils the whole human nature. And it leaves a deadly stain on the human nature. In Matthew 15, and there in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 15, our Lord Jesus Christ says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. This is what defiles a man. And that is completely opposite to our thinking, isn't it? Completely contrary to our thinking by nature. We think it is what goes in. No, it's the other way around. It is what we say. And it is how we say it. That is what defiles, and that is what matters in the presence of the Lord. And then the second example that he gives us, he says, is here in verse 6. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And then he says, and sets on fire the course of nature. The tongue, it sets on fire the course of nature. Now the word that is translated for us here as course literally means a will. And if you know your Bible, you know that when the Bible talks about a will, it's talking about a cycle, like a life cycle. And this is what James is talking about here. He's telling us something about the life cycle. And the word that is translated for nature here literally means the origin or the birth, the beginning, the origin. So that the general meaning of what James is saying to us here is simply this. He is saying that the tongue wields such evil influence, evil power throughout the whole cycle of the human life right from birth, right from the beginning. So that the tongue is at sin itself. As long as you are on this side of eternity, the indwelling sin is always there. And James says, the tongue to us has that evil influence over our nature, over our lives, throughout our lives. Right from the beginning, even to the end. So it has this power throughout our existence. The course, the cycle of our lives from the beginning to the end. And then thirdly, James says, and it is set on fire by hell, in verse 6 at the end. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, we've seen that, and sets on fire the course of nature, we've seen that, and then says finally, it is set on fire by hell. The tongue, by nature, is set on fire by hell. And what James is saying to us is here, the fire of the tongue, the evil of the tongue, is fed, as it were, by the never-dying flames of hell itself. And so throughout our lifetime, throughout our lives, it continues to be the fire that it is, the evil that it is, because it is fed by the never-dying flames of hell. And of course, you know who is the stoker, the devil himself. He is stoking the fire. Making sure it continues to light. Making sure it continues to fire. And throughout our lives, the tongue, when not tamed, when not under grace, that is what it is. Constantly, continuously being fed by that fire of hell that is never ending. There may be some similarity in the sense in which our Lord Jesus Christ uses hell in Matthew chapter 23. But only some kind of similarity when he says to these Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23 verse 15, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. In other words, you are sons of hell. And whoever you get, you make the same the son of hell. Because it's the same hell that is driving you anyway to get them. You're not after them because you have any good intentions for them. You have evil, wicked intentions, which is, as it were, constantly monitored and encouraged by hell itself. Because that's where you belong. The sons of hell. And here James says, hell itself, as it were, is the one that is firing. And the devil himself is that stoker that is encouraging and firing. And that's how he describes the tongue, as a spreading blaze, as a fire that consumes, that destroys, that devastates anything that lies in its path. Secondly, James says the tongue is as a savage beast. First, it is a fire that consumes in all that we have seen. But now he tells us it is as a savage beast, a wild beast, a destructive beast. And this he says in verses 7 and 8 of James chapter 3. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. James says, all kinds of animals, all kinds of birds, all kinds of reptiles, all kinds of sea creatures. All have been tamed by human beings, or are being tamed by human beings even now. And he seems to be saying to us, in a way, that man has retained something of the dominion that was given to him at creation. In Genesis chapter 1, and there in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, then God blessed them, Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So James is saying, in spite of the fall, man has maintained something of his God-given dominion over all other living creatures. So that has been maintained. And that's why he's been able to tame all kinds of animals. He's not saying he has tamed every animal or all of them, but all kinds of animals. Man has been able to tame them in spite of the fall. But then James also goes on to show that, however, because of the fall, man is not able to tame his own tongue. In spite of the fall, he still has this dominion over all kinds of living beings. They've been able to tame all kinds of animals, but because of the fall, he's not being able to tame his own tongue. That is the part that seems to be far, far out of reach when it comes to the ability of man to tame. He's not being able to have dominion, as it were, over his own tongue. And when James says to tame here, he means to overpower. He means to subdue. It means to put under control. It was a word that was used even at the time to describe the bringing of an oxen, a bull, to bring it under the yoke so that it serves and works for you on the farm. That's the word. It is also the word that was used when they talk about the breaking or controlling wild horses. Horses that were brought from the wild that had never been ridden. You have to break them, as it were. You have to bring them under control if you are to ride on them, if you are to use them for anything at all. And that's the word that he uses here. Man has not been able to break his own tongue, to subdue his own tongue, to bring his tongue, as it were, under control. And James continues when he says in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It is an unruly evil. And by saying it is an unruly evil, he's saying man has not been able to tame his tongue because it is ungovernable. Unruly means disorderly. It is disorderly by nature. And it is a disorderly instrument of wickedness, James says to us. Unruly evil. A disorderly, ungovernable instrument of wickedness. That's what the tongue is by nature. By nature. And then secondly, he tells us, the man has not been able to tame the tongue because, as he puts it there in verse 8, it is full of deadly poison. One, it is an unruly evil. Secondly, it is full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. And you can almost see the picture, can't you? He's saying to us, the tongue is full of death bringing poison. It is full. And until it is emptied, it cannot be controlled. It is a poison that brings death. And that's what an untamed tongue does. It brings death. Because it is full of this death bringing poison. Full of it. That has to be removed. That has to be taken away. If the tongue is in any way to change. Now, in chapter 5 of James, and in verse 3, the word for poison that is translated for us poison here is translated in chapter 5 verse 3 as corrosion. Look at James 5 verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded. That's the word. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. The same word here is translated corrosion. The word that is translated as poison. So that we have a picture here, painted by James, of the corrosive and poisoning power of the tongue. It corrodes. It poisons. And that is the tongue as it is by nature. In Psalm 140, and there in verse 3 of Psalm 140, we have something of a picture of that. Psalm 140 verse 3, it says, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. This is the human tongue we're talking about, by nature. They are like serpent tongues, and the poison of asps, he says, is under their lips. And in Proverbs chapter 18, and there in verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 18, death and fire are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life in the power of the tongue. But here, James is talking about the death that is in the power of the tongue. The death that the tongue can bring, which is poison, which is corrosive power, into the lives of other people. So that in both these reasons that James gives, the fact that the tongue is an unruly evil, and that the fact that the tongue is full of poison, James seems to be saying to us here something like this. That the tongue is something like the restless tongue of the serpent. Now, if you have seen a serpent, you understand what I'm talking about. When it stands, when it lifts the head, the tongue is never at rest. Always restless. And what is it seeking to do? To poison. To poison. This is the picture that James is giving us. That is how the human tongue is by nature. Like the restless tongue of a serpent, full of deadly poison, always ready, eager, prepared to bring death, to bring destruction, to bring devastation to the lives of others. That is the tongue by nature. Let me make two applications as I finish quickly. Indeed, as I promised, I'll be quick. The reference to the tongue in the first place as untamable. When James says it cannot be tamed, is what the tongue is by nature and not what it can be by grace. This is the tongue of the natural man, outside of the grace of God, apart from the grace of God. Sometimes men under grace, believers, forget themselves and begin to talk and act like unbelievers. I know that. But the main reference here is to the tongue by nature, the tongues of unbelievers. But James was also aware of the fact that some believers forget themselves and talk like unbelievers. So it is what it is by nature in sin without control, not what it can become by the grace of God. It is the tongue in its sinful passion. That's what James is describing to us here. And James is not saying to us that the tongue is the only part of the body that is out of control. That's not what James is saying either. And as I mentioned earlier, we need to remember that. He is saying that by nature, the tongue has powerful effect and it has powerful influence on the lives of people. Perhaps much more than any other part of the body. And this is the point that James is making here. In Romans chapter 7, and there in verses 18 and 19 of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." And he's talking about his whole being, his whole body. This is not a particular reference to the tongue. It is the whole body. But James is warning us here about the powerful evil effect of the tongue, especially far above any other part of the body. And we are to be careful when it comes to the use of the tongue. But in the second place, in describing this vicious nature of the tongue, James here is not intending that to be an excuse. He is not saying that so that it will be an excuse for undisciplined speech by anybody, especially a Christian. James is not saying that the tongue is unruly. So when as a Christian you use your tongue anyhow, don't say, "Oh, James said the tongue is unruly." It's not my fault. It is your fault. This is the tongue in sin, not under grace. The tongue by nature. This is what we have here. And it must not be used as an excuse by any believer, any Christian. We cannot say, "Oh, the tongue is unruly, that's why." No. It's not an excuse. He is not giving us an excuse. He is warning us. This is what James is doing here. Many, remember, use that excuse as Christians. "Oh, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh..." It was not intended to be an excuse to Christians. Never meant to be an excuse for Christians. We are not to use this as an excuse. Remember this, that while the tongue can be and is more often than not on fire and fire from hell, as we have seen by James, it can also be touched by the live coal that is from the altar of God. Isaiah tells us, doesn't he? Isaiah chapter 6. So while more often than not, yes, as we have seen from James, the tongue can be set on fire from hell, we must also remember that the tongue can be touched by a live coal from the altar of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, in verses 6 and 7, Isaiah said, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.'" The tongue may be set on fire from heaven, not from hell. It can be set on fire from heaven, so that it sheds the light of God instead of the darkness of Satan. It brings the life of Christ instead of the death that Satan brings. It can be set on fire from heaven, so that it brings that light of God into the hearts and the souls of men and women, boys and girls. So that it removes the darkness, the blindness that the devil puts upon our eyes by nature. And opens our eyes. Opens our hearts. So that we see Christ in all His glory and majesty. And we see Him truly as the true shepherd. The only Savior of the world. The one who alone is able to save and to save unto the uttermost. So it is not an excuse. No. It is for us to see the other side. The fact that a tongue can also be touched by fire from heaven. And it can be used for good. Indeed, for the salvation of sinners. For the edification of saints. For the building of the body of Christ. The same tongue, when touched by this fire from heaven, can be used for the good of the people of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4, and I close with that. Ephesians 4, verse 29, the Apostle Paul writing says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And I pray that that will be our lot, each one, by the grace of God and for the good of His people. Amen. Let us pray. We thank You, Almighty God, for Your word. We bless You, Father, that indeed, as we have seen, out of the same tongue can come out cursing, but can also proceed blessings. We pray, O Lord, that out of our tongues no cursing will come out, but blessings. Blessings for the edification of Your people, for the salvation of many, and indeed for the building of Your church. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us, Father, for we often fail. And we pray, O Lord, that You help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to rise up to the challenges, to be endued with power from on high, to use our tongues for the good of others. Part us, O Lord, with Your blessings. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.